Good day, buffet. Sorry to keep you waiting. Your table is ready for All You Can Eat, a weekly comeback of K-pop music commentary. My name is Chuck Jose, and each week we take a brand new release and we let you know what we think about it. But before we get to that, I of course got to introduce you to the other co-leaders of the group. I didn't really come up with any cool puns this time, so I'm just going to talk about how great his would you say ribbed beanie?
Is that how we talk about that?
It's beanie season, obviously.
Sorry.
Actually, let's tell, you know what, Steven, I'll get you in as well. Steven, you're in. You're in now okay. In the conversation of the welcome. Welcome as well. So it's Al Market Steven. Steven, did you know that it was raining in the West Coast today? It was snowing in the West Coast.
Yeah, I saw some videos. I could not believe it. It snowed here yesterday. The first time in a long time we got like a couple inches of snow. But yeah, I saw LA. It was like snowing on the freeway.
Wait, everywhere. San Jose. South Bay was snowing. There were videos of snow in Disneyland of all places.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw some pictures of Mount Diablo nearby where I'm from.
Oh, your hood?
Covered in snow.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Just a kind of rare occurrence, but it did happen before, but not like this.
I almost doxed your high school right now. I wasn't going to say it. I was going to be like, shout out. Nope, not going to say it.
Thank you.
Oh, shout out your high school or Steven's high school?
Oh, Steven.
Oh, yeah. Well, they at least know his college.
Because it's ours.
My college.
Yeah. Yes. And they know his high school. He said it. He said the high school before in like three episodes.
Yeah, I probably have.
Yeah, but no one's going to go back to that. It's fine.
You're right. And don't worry, Steven. I went back and bleeped out, if you listen to the episode, I bleeped out your last name when I said it that one time.
Yeah, all right. Thank you.
So to this day, people still don't know
who you were. So long ago. I think I was still recording upstairs in the loft when that happened.
Yeah. Oh, well. But yeah, how are you two doing? I'm assuming staying warm. What's been up in your worlds?
Staying warm. Yeah. Stressed. I feel like work. I'm not getting burnt out, so I took Friday off before a little weekend trip, and then I worked from home on Monday too. So,
that's so smart.
Helped a little bit, but I'm still burnt out because I have a lot of responsibilities. So I'm probably gonna talk to my manager soon. Ooh. But other than that, things are decent. Bought more K-pop albums, unfortunately. And stuff like that. So.
What is more mean? How many is that?
Three. Ooh. Since I last brought it up. Yeah, it's over the span of like weeks. It's not all in one order. Want me to run down?
Yeah. What'd you get?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that would be the natural order of things. Okay. Where you kind of show us what you got.
I'll start off with the least surprising one, and that is Boo Suk Soon's Second Wind. I got that little single album.
Love it. Steven, did you buy yours? Steven, where's yours? Close enough.
Is that Rufus? So it's fun. I got two Sung Kwan photo cards, so that's fun. I love my boy Sung Kwan. And then some, like, also some Hoshi cards, like, cards as well, which is Hoshi's my overall 17 bias, so that's fun. So I got that. Also, I've been trying to, like, if we were to equate us to BSS in any way, but I don't think we are as chaotic as BSS is, so it's hard to say. Anyway, so that's the first one. But before that, I actually received This I ordered and received this one before that one, and that is Park Jin Young's first album, Chapter Zero. Yeah.
Cool.
Which is great. He's my GOT7 bias, so I was very excited about this album, as y'all already know from the Christmas episode. It's a great mini album as well. That we did not get a chance to talk about, but it came with this little like rose thing too, but yeah. And then the most recent one that actually, even though this album I think got released before the other two, but I didn't order it until this week and it arrived today, and that is from Cheyenne, A Love War.
Wow.
So yeah, I think even though I didn't listen to IZ*ONE that much, like Yena ended up being like my bias from the group, so I was very excited about her solo work. And though I do really enjoy Smiley and Smartphone, those albums, Love War, I think the direction that she went with this is just so good.
Yeah.
Very like under talked about, I guess, album from this year so far, but it's very good. And I love this concept. And yeah, so now I have a Cheyenne album.
Nice. Yeah. The single, I mean, just Love even War, the single is really good.
Yeah. But even the main B-side track on it, oh my God, it's so good. Wash Away, that one's a really nice like bluesy ballad kind of thing, like a doo-wop ballad. It's very good. And now I have a Yena photo card too, so I'm really excited about that.
Also, Alamark, I apologize. Over the weekend, I had mentioned to you that I had a DK photo card. I did not.
Need to apologize to. That's April.
Oh yeah, yeah. But which Hoshi? Oh, you have no Hoshi.
Well, yeah,
you got two Sungkwans.
Yeah, I got Hoshi like postcard things. Oh, and one of them is the challenge habit, which I should use. One of the things is like a 30-day challenge habit, which is like, oh, like you have 30 days to set a new habit.
Oh, and here's that's how cool. You track it.
Yeah, I love the concept of Second Wind so much. Maybe I'll talk about that in the Golden Tongs. But yes.
But that reminded me when you brought up Hoshi. I saw recently, like on Twitter, someone posted a photo of the hiring poster from like a Tiger Sugar bubble tea shop. Did you see that?
No.
But because it says,
okay, I need to look.
There are like four characteristics that they want. One, it's strong at heart, generous in spirit, unafraid to learn, and brave as a tiger. And then a lot of people were like commenting Hoshi would be good for this job, but
he wouldn't be good at making any food.
Cannot cook
to
send this life. To Hoshi. Yeah, but
but no, yeah, other than that, all of that stuff though, wonderful. I love that. I need to find that.
Okay, are you willing to part with one Sungkwan photo card for one of these?
Oh my god, which one? Oh, I don't know which one I want more.
Oh, whoa,
I got it, like the Horanghae one. Mm-hmm. I feel like a need, but I love the one with him holding the marbles.
Yeah,
and I like that kit a lot.
Wait,
more
what
too.
Are these tops? Yeah,
yeah, the whole concept is like they had like soccer kits under like blazers and stuff. It's really cool. Steven, Newcastle, I think
you can
you
can buy it at Target.
Yeah, Newcastle. Oh, cool. I think is the black and white one.
Classic.
And then the other one, I don't know, man, but then I love the styling of this album. Oh, and it's not the album we're talking about this week, but it's actually my phone. Oh man, I can't tell what. Oh shit. We'll talk about it later. I'll show it to you later.
I mean, all right. Okay. Later. Okay.
Yeah, I can't figure out what this kit is.
Oh, I can't. But quite see it.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Okay, but we talked way too long about this already. So. Sorry.
Well, let's give Steven some love. Have you done anything K-pop related? No pressure if you haven't.
Sort of. I can give. Actually, I want to give a quick shout out because last night I went to the book launch or the cookbook launch of someone I follow on Instagram. Her name's Abby Balingit and she's Filipino American, and she just over the pandemic she developed all these recipes and she became this like well-known baker in Brooklyn, and she was like selling these pasalubong boxes, is what she called them, for people. And
so cool.
Yeah, she just came out with her new cookbook out on February 28th. It's called Maiumu, which is the Kapampangan word for sweet. And
nice.
Yeah, I went to the launch last night. It's really cool. And then when I bought the book, and when I got it signed, I asked her what her favorite NewJeans song is, because she's a huge NewJeans fan. And,
that's right.
And she said, right now it's OMG. But mm-hmm. when the album came out, she had heard on replay a lot. And I think, like, I liked her a lot too at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And on the record, I think we'll show that as well.
But, great.
Yeah. So, shout out to Abby at the Dusky Kitchen on Instagram. Everyone go get her book. There's some really interesting recipes in there. There's this adobo cookie. It's crazy. Like, with soy sauce and vinegar in the recipe. So I want to make that.
Yes. If you want to know something very personal about me, my toxic trait.
I thought you were going to say something personal about Steven.
No. I'll tell you his last name in high school in a little bit. But my toxic trait is buying every single cookbook in existence and never cooking anything from them. That is my toxic trait.
Oh, yeah.
But I have cooked something from the one you got me, Alan Mark. Don't worry.
What did I get you?
That's okay. I guess I'm holding on to these Hoshi cards.
Which one did I get? Because that must have been a while ago.
You got me two books in life. You got me the I forget who made the podcasting book. You got me a podcasting book.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Like Storyteller or something. I forget the name.
Yeah.
And then you got me a Momofuku cookbook.
That's right. Oh yeah, that was in the beginning of the. That was the first Christmas of the pandemic. I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now I remember.
Yeah. But anyway, Steven, I'm gonna buy this immediately because there's two things that I love, it's Filipino and desserts. So.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Oh, you guys switched spots in my Zoom.
Yeah, Steven's camera's still.
You're now on the other side. Okay, perfect. Okay. All right. Well, that's enough getting to know us. We can't open Pandora's box too much. Like, we need to let the chaos out just a little bit. So hopefully we'll have some more silly, wacky things to say next week. But you came here for K-pop, and that's what we're going to do. Yeah. Before we do the main episode, of course, we got to show some love to the other treats, other dishes that came out this week. And in order to do that, we have a fun, very fun segment that we like to call Steven's Specials of the Week. So, Steven, take it away. What is on your menu?
All right. Thank you, Chuck. I was thinking that I might add a little tagline to my... segment.
Oh yes.
And I'm gonna just try it out. So yes, this is Steven's Specials of the Week. I got what you want, I got what you need.
Wonderful.
Yeah, because that song will never leave my brain. Yeah. Anyway, we have some pretty cool releases this week, five as usual. And the first one is from Monday. We have a mini album from Hwang Minhyun of New East and 101, of course, and it's called Truth or Lie with the title track Hidden Side. And they're saying this is his solo debut, and although he has released a digital single previously. Shout out to Minhyun for releasing his solo album. He's been around for a long time. It took him 11 years, he said, to like film a video where he's in every scene. So I think that was a new challenge for him. And he's also currently a mentor on Boys Planet. There are six tracks on this mini album. Three of them were written by John OFA Ree, who is someone I've heard a few of his songs, and he's really good. So go listen to him too. But we also see on the credits songwriters from the ESMP, Jam Factory, and Joombas 153 groups. So yeah, go check out this solo debut. On Tuesday, we have two more releases. One is another mini album from the artist Big Naughty. It's called Hopeless Romantic, title track of the same name, featuring Lee Soo-yeon of Akmu. This is Big Naughty's third mini album with 7 tracks. Aside from Lee Soo-yeon, features Kim Min-seok of Mellomance and No Chang. Big Naughty wrote all the songs on the album, and it was also all produced by Dress, the songwriter and producer. Same day, Tuesday, we have another cool mini album, this time from former Nine Muses member Ryu Sera. It's called No Thanks, and the title track is called Jungle. And it was released through her own agency called Octel, which she founded. You might know her, if not from Nine Muses, then her current YouTube channel, her Patreon, her Twitch. She's got a lot of content out there, and she's really great to watch, especially all of her reactions. So go check all of those out. But she did write the whole album. There are 4 tracks. I think it's her track number 4, called Not a Song, is really interesting. It is 7 minutes and 23 seconds long, and is almost, it's like unlike anything I've heard in K-pop. Very, very interesting. Go check it out.
Is it like John Cage?
There's more sound, I guess. I don't know too much about
it. Not a song, yeah. Then. It's just like, it's just Rene Magritte in song form.
Sissy. Sit. On song. A chanson, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, well, it certainly is a song, but go listen to it. And the other two releases that I wanted to mention this week, first is on Monday also. Kim Hyun-joong of SS501 has released his third full-length album called My Son. And then on Thursday, only one of mini album Soul Collection, which is their 5th mini album that dropped. So we love them here too, so go check that out. And yeah, those are my specials of the week, and I think that tagline will stick.
So I'm curious, did you workshop other taglines? Because I feel like you could have.
Let's see.
I don't know if you I don't know if you had it's like, thanks, Chuck. As you know, everything I do at A1, steak sauce.
I tried. We hit the slide, ready for the swing. I tried, we don't want no ops, want no drama queen. Didn't make sense for that.
Did you try Weed and Cool Kids, nothing to it, going stupid, saucin'?
So, I should have picked something. Ooh, with
saucin' was good. Yeah.
But no, I got what you want, I got what you need. That's the song for sure. And Alamark knows. Any chance I had, I would play those songs. Specifically Left Right, so.
Yeah.
Can we count them as
K-pop? I don't know. I don't think so.
Technically, I don't, because they're not from a Korean agency, so it's a different industry.
I thought they are from a Korean agency, no, but they're just operating as a J-pop group.
It's AVEX. They're all, it's AVEX.
Oh, yeah. But they're just based out of Korea.
No, they just promote in Korea.
Yeah.
What? Okay, I'm confused now.
Yeah.
I'm very confused now.
Yeah, they promote their all English songs in Korea.
Wonderful.
Yeah. But we can talk about them if they ever come out with something.
Oh my God, if they get it, yeah. I would love to.
Oh.
Yeah, they're on music shows. I think
that's
enough
range
they,
for us.
Yeah, yeah. That counts as like talk worthy at least.
Yeah.
Anyway. You're right, Steven. Let's just talk about that this episode.
Expected goals, yeah.
I'm gonna do the the elbow choreo. Okay. All right. So it's been a while since we talked about this band.
Woo!
I could say band, not boy group. This boy band. And the last time we did talk about them, it's kind of funny that I have some headache stuff going on right now because I don't remember the reason why, but I couldn't make it to the last. Isn't that right? I didn't. Oh, no. Never mind.
No, it was a potluck. We talked about them on a potluck.
You're right. You're right. I was confusing who we could have talked about this week.
Oh, the other band.
Yeah, the other band. Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
I'm soaring.
Yes, yes, yeah. So anyway, we've never covered this group before. We have talked about them, as Alan Mark said, in a potluck. And I believe, was it you, Alan Mark, that brought them up? Or was it
Blue
Steve?
Blue Voyage? No.
Oh, yeah. Was it
me? I think that was you.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Your brain really isn't working today.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Oh my god. And now I'm just remembering the cursed game that Steve came up with the AI art.
Okay. Yeah, ahead of its time, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. Anyway, my head is not working. But that's the last time. Oh my god. I'm so embarrassed. But anyway, that's the last time we brought this band up. Apparently I don't recall anything, but I didn't really go into too much of their, you know, history. So luckily for us, Alan Mark has taken the reins and he will deliver a wonderful rundown on this week's artist. Oh, what's your catchline? Yes.
would you like some appetizers for this? Okay. Anyway, got Alan Mark's appetizers set up. I think that's why we decided. Anyway, so Lucy is not only a film that stars Scarlett Johansson, but it is also a four-piece band.
Was that another movie where it was originally like an Asian character, and then?
Oh, was it? I honestly don't know. I unfortunately. Oh, it took. It started off in Taipei. So, or something like that. Yeah, yeah. I don't know, man.
Dude, I only watched the movie for this week's episode, so I hope.
No. Oh, dude, we're not clear about. Oh.
Yeah, I have all the answers to what we're going to talk about. So,
to knowledge. That's what. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway,
I did unfortunately see that movie in theaters. But anyway, so Lucy is a four piece band that first appeared on the first season of the 2019. JTBC talent show series titled Super Band, comprised of leader and violinist Shin Ye Chan, bassist and song producer Cho Won Sang, drummer Shin Gwang Il, and vocalist Lee Ju Hyuk. They ultimately placed second overall in the competition. Though after Super Band, Lee Ju Hyuk would leave Lucy to rejoin his original band named Gift and was replaced by vocalist and guitarist Che Sung Yup. So shortly after the show, though, they signed with Mystic Story, the entertainment company run by singer-songwriter Yoon Jung-shin, who also was one of Superband's judges/producers. Then through there, Lucy officially debuted on May 8th, 2020 with the single Dear. Since then, they've released one full album, two EPs, and four single albums, with their latest release, the EP Insert Coin, being released on February 23rd of this year. And that's the one we're discussing today. And the band name Lucy comes from the Latin word lux, meaning light, though the original origin was stated that it was named after the dog that lived in Won Sang's production studio during their time in Superband.
Oh.
And not based off of the 2014 film.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, that's Lucy.
You have to imagine that they must have watched that movie at least. Maybe like during,
I hope not.
Like songwriting. I just remember, okay, before we go to the band, I just remember that was one of those movies that if you came in not knowing anything about it, you were in for like a wild ride.
Oh, absolutely.
I remember the plot being nonsensical. but then also the ending being like, I mean, kind of related to AI in a way, almost. Yeah, some sort of like intelligence thing. Anyway,
yeah,
that's enough about that movie. Let's talk about the dog, Lucy. So I'm so happy we chose this release. We had a bunch of great contenders, but once I saw the insert coin and the 8-bit art on the album cover, I felt like I had to agree no matter what I believed with the other releases that we could have talked about. But not only that, there's only 4 songs. You gotta love a 4-track mini EP, if you will. But I'm sure we'll find a way.
And we've been talking about video games a lot recently.
Yeah, it just makes so much sense. It's like for us to talk.
So appropriate that this happened. So
I'm very happy that the theme of this album is very video game oriented in a way, or I guess the concept. So speaking of that, let's start off with the lead single, which is which is the first track of the album. Entitled Unbelievable. And I think that's a great title for me to kind of sum up my, you know, general thoughts about this song, because boy, it is big. This is a big, grandiose, I've used this description a lot, perfect for anime. This is such an anime song. I don't know if it's the intro or the outro. I think the intro. It sounds like the intro, because there are those swells that sound like you need to get the viewer in on the, like, oh, I'm about to watch this isekai or something like that, and then there's and then there's those like those lows where it's like you see the characters like walking on a trail, or you know, like this. Without even thinking about the music video, or without even watching the music video, that's where my head was this entire song. I thought it was just from top to bottom such a joy to listen to. It just felt so epic in its composition and the violin. Oh my god, the violin all throughout this. Anyway, that's just my initial thoughts that I want to give out. I'll get into some more specifics later, but I really, really, really enjoyed this single. I thought it was just, I forget, I didn't really go back to listen to Blue Voyage or any other Lucy songs. But for like a song, it was just great to just listen to like a really great, I don't know, rock band orchestral song for a change, just one that felt more focused on the music than, you know, everything else. So gosh, it was good. It was unbelievable.
Okay, I agree. I had a lot of those same thoughts. This would be a great intro outro, but I've only seen maybe one isekai. I don't know if I would recommend it. It was someone else recommended. I think we all watch it. I watched it.
Don't watch that isekai.
I still have to watch the second season.
It's okay.
No one. Don't release this, Chuck.
Actually, I'm not leaving this.
I liked it. Actually, I liked it, but just wanted to bring it up. Anyway. I think, but I guess overall my thoughts are not like as positive. I do think it is a good song with a lot of really good parts instrumentally. You talked about the violin, obviously. I love that. I could point out some of the parts I liked in particular, but I guess my biggest takeaway from the song was I think it kind of fell short of like actually moving me. I think it could have, but with that really big sound and all of these instruments and I think different sections or like different sounds I brought in, I felt like I didn't have a lot of time to really savor any moments, and then I kind of wanted that with the melodies that they were singing, especially in that chorus, it was all very fast. And I could go back and listen to it, but then I think, yeah, it's just hard to really get into it. But I think it is still a good song. Just didn't make it completely for me.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I feel like it, I mean, I really love this song. It's very pleasant and bright and sort of that sort of style that I think I relate to Lucy often with these type of songs. It's either, you know, this or like a more emotional kind of sound. But yeah, I don't know. I think it was right where I expected a Lucy single to be. But that, I mean, that just made me really enjoy it. You know, it wasn't a surprise. And I don't think I was necessarily looking for a surprise or for something that like was, you know, exceptionally like different or a newish sound in that sense. Maybe because I'm still like in the process of getting into Lucy more and more. But I think this one was like a great like lead in for an album, and especially tying in with like the overall concept and theme that they're, that I know we're probably going to dig into later on in this episode. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard to, I'm trying to be nitpicky on like where I feel like it may fall short, but I can't. I just think it's such a pleasant and well put together, well done song. So, which is very much expected from a band that is this good. So, yeah.
I guess what I was nitpicking, we're like, I think where I felt they added too much, I think there was, I don't know if I needed the other string parts there where they already had the violin playing, and then I think some of the hand claps over the percussion they had already, I don't know, it didn't improve the song for me. So I think those things, I just kind of stood out and I was like, oh, those are okay, but I would like to hear it with those, without those, for maybe, but I don't know. It's still cool, and obviously that I loved the bass on this.
Bass.
It's just
good
incredible.
Lord, once
yeah.
And I love that spotlight they gave it. Ugh.
Yeah,
I would say like that was more, that stood out more for me in this song. I know there were a ton of strings and like,
yeah,
like great moments to make you feel musical emotion, but anytime they would just kind of hit you at the end of like a flurry of sound with a boom 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 boom.
Yeah, so those lead-ins are so good. But I think that's the thing that I really like about Lucy, even though like we do make a big deal about the strings, because, or the violin specifically, because it's like not common in not only K bands but just bands in general.
I only can think of one.
Yeah, but I think, you know, it's easy to pinpoint it out because it's different. But I feel like with their songs, it's not like done as like a feature. It feels like it is very ingrained with the rest of the instruments and very intentional in that. So they all, I feel like, do work together so well that, you know, after you get past the initial, like, I guess, surprise of, oh, there's strings in this like rock song. Or like a featured violin in this rock song, it's more like, yeah, this song, or like the arrangement needed that violin because it's integral to their songwriting as a band. So
I would also say, but the part that I really liked from the violin was in the chorus where it kind of matches the rhythm of the vocals, and it kind of like, there's a short section of it, I think it's like one of those faster parts, but I thought that part was really cool and probably my favorite violin part on this song.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that fast, like lyrical, melodic song. At first, I don't know if I liked it at first when I heard the song, I was like, oh, that's so many syllables packed into one spot. But the more I listened to it and then also like caught like the lyrics on it, the lyrics that were tied to that line, I thought it was like, oh no, that's like perfect. Like it's like the rush of it to, you know, in sometimes when you feel that way when you're complimenting someone that you sort of love or have an eye for, it's like sometimes those feelings just rush out like that melodic line. So I thought that was a nice like decision there. Oh, that should have been my note for it's fine.
Ooh. All right. So we talked a lot about the music. I feel like it only makes sense to start talking about the music video because for
you dropped something.
I just dropped this pen. But
were you trying to do pen tricks or something like that?
Yeah, man.
Pen 15?
Yeah.
Check that out.
I can't do them. But yeah, I think it's for an album. Oh, you know what? I just noticed the album cover is yellow.
Like a coin or
what? Like a card. Like a card.
Like in like Football Manager?
No. Like
no, like in the band. The sport.
Oh. Ocean Avenue. Ocean Avenue. Okay.
If we're talking about violin bands.
Wow.
Anyway, so obviously very video game oriented concept. So naturally, you would assume the music video would deliver, you know, as much video gameness as possible. And guys, I'm very disappointed with the music video. I feel like it could have gone way better with
really?
The whole. I don't know if it's like a budget thing or something.
I thought they did it really nicely.
No. They're okay. Okay. All right. Let's talk about. No, it's not that I didn't like it. I just thought I could sense the budgetary limitations.
Oh, well,
of
yeah.
This video.
It's a Mystic Story. It's not like it's HYBE.
Yeah. Oh, I expect
we would be
that
playing
from now
this
on.
Game right now if it was.
I expect that.
We don't know how much money SM is funneling into Mystic Story. They're a subsidiary, that's but yeah.
But yes, okay, so let's I picked out some of the video game references. Some were very overtly like alluding to some. But there were others that I couldn't really I guess it was like a generic video game kind of like aesthetic. But before I do that, what were your thoughts on the music video? Was it kind of like appropriate to what you were listening to, or did it kind of detract your experience with the song?
I thought it was a great pairing.
I really liked it. Yeah,
I like how they kept going, like changing which game it was referencing. I just thought it was cute. And even like not only like, you know, console video games or like handheld video games, but even like phone app games they were referencing.
Yeah.
I thought that was fun.
Okay. So phone app games, I'm assuming you're referring to the Among Us portion?
No, there's also like there's the one where it's like the grandma in jail that like gets in jail.
Oh yeah.
And then the one where it's like a bunch of people running and like that thing and like those ads you see on TikTok.
Oh yeah, that's right. The like the cross this.
Yeah, they're the, like running
the barriers. Yeah. I forgot about that part. But yeah, there was I really enjoyed the Among Us part. That was fun.
Yeah,
to watch them floating
once
in space.
And getting chosen, just floating. Also, I loved his. Was it a jumpsuit? I loved one Sam's outfit throughout this whole thing. Yeah. I want it. I want it.
And so, like, I think that's what I'm like. Where are my critiques coming from? It's basically. I feel like there could have been a lot of. I don't know. I'm just thinking of the budget, I guess.
Yeah. But I think what makes it cute is like they sort of decided to reference games that aren't like visually spectacular, like not ones that have really realistic graphics. It's a lot of like, you know, either older games or like, you know, cheaper indie games. Like, yeah, you mentioned Among Us, which is more cartoony. They reference like an Otome game.
And oh yeah, that's right.
I would play that game.
Play that game. Yeah, what else? Like a Phoenix Wright. Like it's So I think I like that they stuck with that more so than like you know, like a highly I don't know, I think I don't know if I would have enjoyed as much of a highly budgeted music video for this. Mm-hmm. I like that it was cheap.
Yeah. I love those scenes too where they have their instrument and then was it Yechan, like he just had to do a little flourish with his violin, but they're so like, I don't know, it's so corny, but and I wonder how they were feeling when they were filming that. I hope they were just watching each other have to do it in front of a green screen.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just so awkward just doing it in front of the green screen, not knowing what's going to be.
I know. Yeah.
It's like, all right, we need you to like point this like a gun and then flick your bow as if you're launching an energy bullet. Yeah, and then I didn't really, I guess it was just a generic when they were doing, I guess it's like Final Fantasy Dragons with Dragon's Quest, like esque, where they're just like marching down the different like scenery, but one of them looked like the White House, I think.
Oh yeah.
Or where is it that said, like a
congratulations or something, or like celebration something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought those are just general, like generic, what is it? Just generic RPG.
Yeah, there were different character archetypes and everything. And then we had a random, not random, I guess maybe it made sense to you guys, but we had like a random like Super Sentai warrior moment where they had the big the Power Ranger gun and then they did the pose and everything. I guess that's a video game.
I don't know. Maybe it's also, it could be a Korean video game that we may not know of. Yeah, like, I don't think any of us have played Kart Rider.
I know, it sounds, everyone loves it. Yeah.
Okay, but with those, I feel like I had to be very nitpicky
because
I come from a very video game background. That's my passion. But aside from that, I do agree. It just looked like they had a whole bunch of fun. And I would love that final set that they were on, like the triple stack platforms with all the Minecrafty looking 8-bit art to them. Yeah, it was fun, man. Okay, are you guys good with the song with the ending? Just them doing the. I mean. That's a fun little choreography moment. But if you look at some of their faces, they're kind of just like, it's almost like
they're
Kim
Lip.
Very Kim Lip esque. Anyway, any other standouts from this song? I mean, I feel like we'll probably get into it more later, but being a band, having a violin, like, I feel like it's very easy to have those epic bridge moments. I think what this song did very well was kind of ebb and flow between those moments. Just thinking about the music video as well, there's just something to this bridge that made everything sound just that much grander as the outro. I loved how, well, we had that big orchestral moment and then they cut it out to like be a little bit more like chiptune-y, a little glitchy to like build it back again to the thing. I don't listen to Lucy too much, so I don't know their production styles when it comes to these songs. But yeah, I just thought this was such a well-produced song in general. So, from top to bottom. So that's all I really have to say left about Unbelievable. Do you guys have any lasting thoughts about this song?
I just remembered I watched one of their appearances on a music show. And, well, I didn't watch the whole thing because I don't know who decides what bands do on these shows, but I don't know. They need to. It's just not a satisfying performance for me to just watch them. I like the drummer plays. But I guess Yechamp played too. But they don't mic the drums. They don't mic the amps. What can they do? I know it's a long day of filming and they, a lot of setup and stuff for everyone who works there. But what do you do to make it a better show for a band that comes on? And I don't know. I just can't. It's hard to watch them, but because they're so good, they're so good at their instruments and what they do. So it's not. That's not how I want to watch them. But they got to do it. So yeah. That's all.
Maybe, yeah. Because like, what's the general thought on K bands? Like, are they kind of? I mean, do they have the same level of fans as, say, similar marketed groups? Like, I don't know. Would you consider Lucy sort of like still indie? Like, still, like, are they up there?
Yeah.
Like, where are they in caliber?
It's hard to say because, like, I don't know if I would consider Lucy like an idol band similar to,
right.
Day Six or
That's what I'm saying.
Flying yeah. When yeah. We Are, because they do come from like, because I mean, Mystic Story is not really known as an idol like agency. They have Billy and some soloists, but then it's still mostly indie. The other bands I could think of that would be like comparable, like Cinema maybe. I don't know how Cinema's marketed, but yeah, I don't know. But regardless, like, yeah, they don't have the same sort of, I guess, fan base that those other bands do because, you know, they don't have the same, I guess, budget as the FNCs or the JYPs have.
Still pretty popular. I mean,
yeah. Oh yeah, they're definitely still popular. But I mean, looking at the amount of plays for this album compared to the other albums we cover, it's like vastly different. So I'd say they're still popular, and I think they definitely have much more. I wouldn't call it indie because then that, you know, indie is sort of the more of an industry kind of thing. I think it's more of like a cult fan base. I would say. I would describe it more like that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we do have a lot more Lucy to talk about. We do have three other songs to include in their conversation, and we have some fun topics to kind of bring up specifically for this band group. So it's gonna be kind of fun. So stick around. Go ahead. Go get some rooibos tea if you want to take a break. And when we come back, we will talk about the rest of Insert Coin. See you on the B-side. All right, welcome back to the B-side. We will continue what will hopefully be hopefully this will be like the last or second to last time I mentioned this, because by now, hopefully listeners, you have gotten used to our new format, but we have gotten rid of the game. It'll be back in some form or another. And instead of going track by track and letting you know what we think, we are going to actually go through a bunch of topics to kind of give our overall thoughts of the album in a way. So we might not even talk about a song that's on this album, but we're definitely going to give you our thoughts. Based on the topics that we have presented. And starting off is Steven. What topic did you bring for the table today?
Yeah. So I just mentioned, like, before the break, how they're so good at what they do, each instrumentally. That's pretty much what I wanted to talk about. Just what was our favorite instrumental part? Like if it was a kind of showcase section or part under like vocals in another part. But for me, it was just the part that closed out the album. At the end of Fill It Up, there's this solo, and there were parts where I was confused if it was the violin, like an electric violin with some effects on it, because it sounded so much like a standard kind of electric guitar solo. But I don't know, he was just shredding, and it was so cool. A great way to end this song, which and this it really fit this song. I think when Shinya Chan has solos, he, for as technically like skilled as he is, I think he knows what is appropriate for the song. So on this one, he has like some little pyrotechnics, not a ton, but he goes pretty quick and it really works for the song. So yeah, that solo at the end of Fill It Up, that was just my favorite.
Nice. That's such a good part too. So
I was trying to remember the genre of music that's yeah, it felt like okay. I tried to like I haven't figured it out fully yet, but I call Fill It Up my F0 or Wipeout song. basically that UK like I forget the genre, but I tried to classify all the songs to video games, and so this is my
I did the same day too.
Yeah. Okay, good. So this is my Wipeout. Wipeout's a cop out because that's what they play in those games. But definitely F-Zero, like a song where you need to go fast and like you're in a futuristic world at the same time. But so yeah, I great pick, Steven, because that was a very frenetic, but like I don't know, I just remember just the song in general is just kind of like, whoa, okay, what a departure from the last three. They just went all in on this song, so yeah. Alamark, I'm curious to know what your favorite instrument.
Oh, I thought you were gonna go.
No. I'm curious to know what your favorite instrumental part is, because I'm curious to find out if it's a bass part. If not,
It's a bass part.
It's hard not to pick a bass part.
So out of all the ones like to choose from, I went with the bass line in Tied Up. Particularly, there's a lot to go from there, but I mean, just the chorus itself, I think, is just so good. Especially like there's the mid-chorus break where it transitions from the vocal part of the chorus to the post-chorus, and he does like the little like fills similar to Unbelievable. What I love about like I think why I chose this song over say Unbelievable, even though it does similar things. I love that. Like One Sang as a bassist sort of reminds me of one of my favorite bassists that sort of ever, Seiji Kameda, who is in the band Tokyo Incidences and also was an arranger for a lot of bands like Duez Infinity and stuff like that. And he's just incredible. And it's like this song in particular, the way that he just plays the bass reminds me of that so much. And just listen to the bass on the chorus specifically. Choose the last chorus. I think that's like a really great encapsulation because that was like that's a great like build up moment. I'm just gonna go with that.
Steven, I apologize because we have clearly ever since you dropped that pen, Don't raise your fist in joy. Ever since we dropped that pen, you have changed the course of history, because now I align with Alan Mark. My favorite instrumental part is also just everything in Tied Up. I mean, I don't want to say the chorus because you already mentioned that, so I'll just say the overall groove of the bass. I just thought, though, because it wasn't trying to be so out there, but when you caught it, like, it was just this magical ride that was happening in the low end, and like, it just kept internally, it kept my groove going with this song. So I had to choose the bass part for that song as well as as a pick. My runner up, though, I really enjoyed the violin in Never in Vain.
Oh yeah,
in the chorus, yeah. It was so haunting. But no, I was going back and forth, but then when I heard Alan Mark talk about it, I was like, psh, forget you, violin. Oh, sorry, Steven. I was like, fine. I'm going bass. I'm going bass this time. So yeah.
No, great. I mean, of course, Chuck, great pick, but Steven also wonderfully great pick as well. But I mean, tying into instrumentation, of course, what makes great instrumentation but great songwriting behind it, you know? Someone's got to write the notes that they decide to play, or toms and cymbals they decide to hit. But anyway, the next topic that I want us to cover is, like, what's your favorite, like, moment of songwriting in this album? Like, what chord progression just hit you in the right way? What series of notes was just like, that was the best thing? What is it? But I'll start. There's a lot. I think Lucy as a band are just a group of incredible songwriters. So, but I think what I ended up choosing was particularly the post-chorus of Never in Vain, the instrumental part with the, like, strings, like, after Chuck's reaction makes me know what's gonna what he's gonna say, but after Song Yup's, like, little nah, and then it just, like, that, like, sort of almost Celtic section where it's just, like, the strings are very forward but, like, filtered in a way. I love it. I don't know what the chord progression is specifically. If I had to guess, it's like, what, like a 4-3-1-7 or something? I don't know. I just like how it sort of built up, and it made it equating each song to a different video game style. This one felt very like RPG, like sort of like Bloodborne or Elden Ring kind of vibe to me.
Great comparisons.
So I just thought that it I don't know, I like that specific choice of, like, yes, this is the epic part of this song, it's very heavy, like much darker than what I'm used to with, like, what at least I'm familiar with Lucy. I just think how they decided to write that was just so wonderful and interesting, and not what I'm used to in, like, I guess Korean band, like, music like that. So yeah, that's my pick.
I'll just go, Steven, because it's very obvious that I have chosen the exact same portion, because you said Celtic, I said Irish. I was thinking Riverdance. It was just like you're saying, Alamar, I don't even know the chord progressions either, but like that little, like, low rumbling, I guess the bass is in there too, but the whole, like, it just made it sound, I don't know, I just having a hard time capturing it into words, but just that part portion specifically where it's like that low rumbling, like, like, it just keeps the repeating note and then it just keeps dropping, or like keeps changing, because obviously the violin is wonderful, it that makes me want to river dance, but it's just I don't know, the energy that I was getting from the low ends again, it's just, it got me all, it made it epic, like, or big, or that's what you were saying, Almark. So great. Oh, now we're gonna probably have the same great video game soundtracks. Probably gonna be FF8 or something. Okay. That's two jabs at the same guy in one episode. I love it. Let's see if we can make it a third. Okay, Steven, what is your favorite song writing written section?
Well, mine is not very far off, and it actually also from Never in Vain.
Yes,
it comes between two. Ooh. Like it's actually the second verse, but like the second part of the second verse where they bring in the instruments, like,
oh,
before,
yeah, that part is so good.
Yeah, I love like a groove, so when they bring that in, it works really well because of how it contrasts with the section right before it, where all the instruments kind of they kind of echo and there's some reverb on it, but then the instruments in that new section, they're all like shorter. We get the pizzicato plus the strings doing like some short, not maybe staccato, no, but like just kind of shorter notes there. And you get like, yeah, it's just plus that great bass and drum groove. I loved how that worked together in that section. And then it leads up into that great pre-chorus. So I think for a song that had a lot of great melodies too, I was glad there was this really cool instrumental like part where the band all came together, in a really cool way. So I think, yeah, that was it.
Awesome. Well, we know what our favorite song is in this album. It's Fill It Up. Okay. So I wanted to come up with a topic that was not K-pop related, but I could finally talk or bring this on our music podcast, because I've brought up a lot of video game references in the past, like these songs would have been great in this video game, blah, blah, blah. So I was curious with the two of you, what your favorite video game soundtracks were. You don't necessarily have to pick the whole soundtrack. If you just want to pick a song, that's great too. But if there is like a game where you could just kind of remember like, oh, I've loved every single song in that game, like that's what I want to know. And so I'm going to start. There are obviously a million bajillion fantastic soundtracks out there, but I'm going to go with the one that like is very iconic. If I listen to it, I will be transported like Ratatouille back in time. To how old was I? Was I in eighth grade? I think it was in seventh or eighth grade, maybe, or so. I forget what. I think that sorry. It was probably like sixth or seventh grade. I forget. But my choice for favorite video game soundtrack is the Ocarina of Time video game. If you give me an orchestral version of all those songs, great, but I still love the very chiptuniness of it. I mean, if you know kind of situation, like if you've never heard of Ocarina of Time, I highly recommend playing it, especially if you're like a big Breath of the Wild fan. It's very much, there's a lot of DNA of Ocarina in Breath of the Wild, but music-wise, there's every single town is iconic. Everything is just iconic about that game. Yeah. Because, I mean, it makes sense. The whole game was related, or it was based on music. You had a magical ocarina that could open doors and transport you to different towns, and you could play it. I think I remember playing the Beverly Hills Cop, because you could just play the ocarina if you knew how to manipulate the N64.
That's
so,
right. Yeah, isn't it just the four yellow the C buttons and then
you can pitch bend a little bit with the stick.
That's right.
As well.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're doing the normal songs, it's just A, B, and the four C buttons.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to modulate and like hit sharps and flats.
That's right. You can do that with the
you pitch it with the stick, and so sometimes you have to do that. So in a very crude way, my Beverly Hills was like, do, 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 like in a very. Because I would have to remember how to play each note. I would be like, every good boy does fine. Face, grandma bakes donuts. Anyway, that's my pick. You know what? I'm going to go with you, Steven.
Yeah.
What is your favorite video game soundtrack? And why is it Persona 5? Oh, yeah.
Persona 5, or maybe it's just Persona 5, but it has a great soundtrack, by the way. There's some great songs on there. Go listen to the main theme. It's really, really good. I don't really have an interesting answer. It's just, I think what you said about when you heard it, I think that was really important. Yeah. But I'm just going with FF7. I mean, it's just my favorite. I think because I feel like I hadn't played a game with a soundtrack that I really, really was as emotional to as Final Fantasy VII's. I think it even influenced what kind of classical music I ended up liking. With the main world theme, its heart is on its sleeve. I think it has that big section, like a lot of all of the things I really love. It's just like the Tchaikovsky movements where there's a really big string section. So I think that was really important, even just to how I appreciate music. So. I gotta go with that. I do want to mention the song, one of the songs from Snake Eater, Metal Gear Solid, Snake Eater. Yeah. Like that one's really good.
Nice. I love. You're not talking about the theme of Snake Eater.
Yeah, right? I think so, the theme.
The James Bondy theme. Oh, it's so great.
Yeah.
Snake Eater.
But yeah, and then love I'm it. Gonna come back if we don't mention this last game. But yeah,
great.
Okay.
Probably not. So so we will come back to you. So for me, sort of similarly, I knew that I was going to end up choosing a Final Fantasy as well. Because if I think about the games I've played and the music that has stuck out to me the most, it is Final Fantasies. But I'm going with, my favorite Final Fantasy, which is Final Fantasy IX. Which
hell
isn't
yeah.
necessarily
FF8 sucks.
Which isn't. I have yet to finish Final Fantasy VIII, but even though 9 isn't like the most like it's not iconic as 10 or 7, and 10 has like that one iconic song to Xanarkand, while 7 has a lot of really great a lot of really great themes like Tifa's theme, Aerith's theme, and of course One Winged Angel. I think the best version of One Winged Angel is from Advent Children. So but that's I chose 9 because looking back on it and you know how I feel like I loved how the music accentuated the story a lot. Like listening to it again as I was trying to decide which Final Fantasy soundtrack is it. Compared to where like 10 and I guess 7 a little bit felt more cinematic. Like these are all like, yeah, these are like movie scores to like this cinematic thing that you're watching and playing. Maybe because 9 was a lot more cartoony and medieval based, it felt more like stage than it did film. Like these are all parts of a full overture of a symphony or even an opera or something. Like you could, like I could envision hearing like a full vocal tied to like attached to these songs as if it was like a musical. And I think that's why it resonates with me really well, because that's what I connected to a lot. And it's just out of bias because I just love the storyline to 9 a lot. So yeah, it was my first Final Fantasy. So
yeah.
Was that what you were gonna bring?
Yeah,
sorry, no. Were you gonna mention FF10?
No. Well, actually, what I wasn't really thinking of was games that have licensed music and how there are a lot of great like soundtracks among them.
Oh, are like, there's always a Crazy Taxi
or something.
Tony Hawk and Gran Turismo, yes. Too. But yeah, the game I did want to bring up was one of the best FIFA games, FIFA World Cup 2010. With waving flag. Yes. Can I name another song on the soundtrack? I don't know. Waving flag remix? I don't know.
Bruno Mars.
Wow, shout out Kanon.
Yeah. But
oh, wow.
One of the best games in the series.
Amazing pull.
Yeah. Still holds up. That song is... That talk about a song that transports me back. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. Good shout out with the Tony Hawk one though. Tony Hawk.
Yeah,
2,
it's so good.
Yeah, when they redid Tony Hawk 1 and 2 for like when I played that a lot in 2020, and oh my god, it brought me back.
Oh yeah. Sorry, it's just crazy because we are now at that part of the song where we are stronger. Because, you know, the when I get older, I will be stronger. We are now at that part of the song where we're older and stronger. It's just, I should go. Do you still have that, all the Coke cans I gave you? Because that was like the official Coca-Cola.
I doubt it. Of course I don't have it. Yeah. Why would I still have it?
Checking your shelves.
No. The ones I gave you over the weekend. Did you take that home?
Oh, yes. I still have them.
Yeah. Okay. Never mind. Don't worry about it, Steven.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, let's move on, guys. Let's finish this episode up. Okay. So we're now at the part of the episode where we guess each other's favorite songs. I think... I'll keep calling it "What's Your Flavor," I'll call it "What's Your Flavor," because in this segment we're gonna guess each other's favorite songs. So, I think I went first last time. Who won?
You did. Time?
Oh, I won. Yeah. Oh shit! Oh crap! Okay, all right. I guess I'm going first then. Okay. For Alan Mark, I'm picking Tied Up, and then for Steven, I am also picking Tied Up for both of you. I'm taking a gamble with one of you. Let's see if it pays off. Okay.
I guess I can go. For Alan Mark, I've picked Tied Up. And for Chuck, I've also picked Tied Up.
Wow. Oh my god.
Okay, Mark.
All right, it's my turn. Shoot. I want to change my answers now, but I won't. Chuck, I chose Tied Up. Steven, I chose Never in Vain.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, guys. My favorite song is Tied Up. You are correct. Yes. Two, each of you get one point. Congratulations. All right. Okay. Steven, what is yours?
My favorite.
I realize that we got to... I mean, obviously the honor system.
Yeah, I know. I know. Like, there's nowhere for us. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But just yeah. It's okay. We honor system. So yeah, what is your favorite song? Yeah.
Oh, mine's Tied Up.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So, based off of today's like us recording, I almost changed it while we were like talking about the songs. But I'm going to stick to my gut and choose what I originally had intended, which is Unbelievable.
Oh. Man.
And when I listened to the album, Unbelievable is just the one that I kept wanting to listen to. So, yeah. But yeah. I almost changed it to Never in Vain.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's what I... if I'm being honest, I pivoted my choices. because I first had you with Unbelievable. Then I had you with Never in Vain. And then I switched it to tied up at the very end.
That bass is tricky. One second is tricky, dude.
I know. Because the truth is, before we started the conversation, I had unbelievable. I went in with unbelievable because I thought that was the best produced song. But then I re-listened to Tied Up as we were talking about Tied Up, and I was like, you know what? No, I like this song. This one's got the groove. This has got the funk. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah. So, okay, so that makes it
one for Steven, one for me.
And one for me. We all get one.
Oh yeah.
Right. Oh yeah, okay. Steven said
tied up. We're all tied up today.
Oh no, no. Oh, today, but then I'm still ahead by a half. But oh, that's okay. Still even. All right.
I'm so bad at guessing Alan Mark's favorites.
Well, you gotta.
It was the first time, or the whenever it was. Were you the one that got it first?
I got it the first time.
It's downhill from there.
You gotta psychoanalyze Alan Mark. You gotta listen to how he's doing before we start recording. That's how you can tell.
If I'm in a bad mood, the song I choose is the happy song.
Choose the moody mood, sad boy song.
Oh man,
love it. Okay, all right. Well, the shop is about to close, of course. So before we do that, I want to just call one last call for any other comments, critiques, anything else you want to point out about the band, this album, a song, anything you want. The floor is open to anybody.
I don't have a lot. I really like Lucy. With Day Six not being active lately, I'm like, I need a band to listen to. So yeah. Lucy's a great fit in there. And they're great in their own right. So yeah. I mean, they're just hitting the expectations that I want from them. So can't ask for anything more than that. Lucy's great.
Yeah. I like Lucy. I think, as I've said, they're all great at their instruments and what they do. But overall, though, their style isn't really one that I like all that much, or I've really ever listened to a lot. Like, I haven't really listened to a ton of bands like Lucy, so they're not really going to be one that I get too excited about. But they do have some really good songs in their careers or their discography, but I don't get like super, like really too excited when I hear about a release, but I just do still like whenever there's a band in K-pop. So yeah, glad Lucy's here. And this was a fun bright album, except for Never in Vain, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with both of you. I really enjoy Lucy, but to Steven's point, I think I will tend to gravitate towards other bands. Maybe, I don't know, I guess Day Six, but also maybe The Rose. Who else? I guess End Flying also, I don't know. But yeah, I think there is a space for Lucy and they're filling it appropriately and well. I guess it just depends on the mood that I'm in. But when you're listening to K-pop over and over again, it's almost like you need to differentiate yourself from K-pop. And so a song like Unbelievable, I mean, we're getting K-pop groups that are coming out with or that do deliver on very grand orchestral. So like, if you told me Lucy didn't play their instruments at all, maybe I could believe you, but I know for sure because obviously I've seen them. But yeah, I think the more they stand out, the more I don't know. I just want them to keep doing what makes them happy, you know. So if this is what makes them happy, it makes me happy. But it's not. I'm only going to listen to them when I hear something that comes out that I think I like, but I'm not waiting for the next release, you know. I didn't even know Lucy was coming out with an album until Steven mentioned them as having a release this week. So anyway, but kudos to the video game theme. I'm so happy finally can bring more video games to How You Can Eat. Hopefully we'll get another group in the future, but I was so happy to see, to hear. I think that's what, okay, if I were to talk about this album specifically, I really enjoyed the fact that at some point they were like, let's put, again, I don't really listen to Lucy too much, but I heard a lot of chiptune-y, glitchy components in this album. And it's, while all the songs genre-wise were different, they all had that, they all brought me back to the video game headspace every single time. Like, it would be like a different part here and there, but so it's, as far as like consistency goes, I really appreciate that they kept that concept all throughout the album, in a way. So, which is, I don't think I get to say too much with these K-pop releases. So yeah. All right. Well, thank you all so much for choosing to dine with us. We really hope you enjoyed your stay, and we can't wait to have you back next time. You can catch more episodes of How You Can Eat on all of your favorite podcast platforms. You can follow us on all the socials, well, most of the socials, but I'll mention Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And of course, you can email us. Tell us your thoughts. Tell us your favorite video game soundtrack, or, you know, any suggestions you want for any future episodes, let us know. howyoucaneat@gmail.com is the place to, or is the email to send that to. We can't wait to read your electronic mail. Okay, so that about wraps it up for us. For Alan, Mark, Steven, and I, it has been our pleasure being your leaders this week. So long, stay safe, and we'll see you next feast.
See ya.
To knowledge.
Wait, what?
I was considering if I should actually just play the clip.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I'll just play it.
Yeah, just for our sake.
To knowledge.
Wait, what?
She's just on a plane, and then she gets handed a champagne, and then she just says, to knowledge, and then drinks it, and then now she's using 40% of her brain.
Oh, Lucy! Oh, it's Lucy!
That's okay.